That's 1-800-585-4322.
It's that time of year again. The leaves will start to change color, the smell of baked goods will be in the air, and the campus of Henry Ford College will be abuzz. Fall enrollment at Henry Ford College is going on now, and the deadline is quickly approaching. If you plan to enroll in any of the hundreds of courses offered at Henry Ford College for the upcoming fall semester, make sure to get enrolled as soon as possible, as classes are quickly filling. You can save thousands of dollars by choosing classes at HFC versus other colleges in the area. HFC is one of the few schools to offer free parking to save you even more cash. There's so many benefits to choosing HFC that they can't even be listed. Get enrolled today to save time and money while getting a high-quality education from a college that has been future-driven since 1938. Classes begin August 25th, so get those choices made today and ensure your future. For more information about enrollment and classes being offered, visit www.hfcc.edu or come visit the Welcome Center.
Broadcasting from the generous Henry Ford Community College, you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
That's right, this is WHFR Dearborn. We are the station making waves, and you are listening to Impact, heard on the second Tuesday of each month from 1 until 2 p.m. Impact is the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And today we're speaking with Amber Beard from Common Ground, and I'm so excited about that, Common Cause.
I'm excited to be here, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, hold on. We have a little bit of a problem with your mic.
All right, try that.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Perfect.
I can hear you now. That sounds great. And Common Ground has been around for a long time. And I will tell you also that the views and opinions expressed on this particular show are not necessarily those of WHFR nor of Henry Ford College. So with that, I welcome you, Amber, to Impact. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Common Ground's really excited to be here and be a part of this. Like you said, we've been around a really long time. We're actually happy to be celebrating our 45th anniversary this year. So 45 years in the community. We've been helping move people from crisis to hope for the past 45 years in a variety of different avenues. But our efforts now are focused in three key impact areas. And those are responding to crisis, providing safety and advocacy, and building communities of support. Last year, we have helped more than 80,000 people in crisis. Still, some crises go unmet. And to counter that, we were really hoping to expand our text and chat line service to 24/7 because currently Common Ground, one of our major services, is our crisis intervention line. It's a toll-free number open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, there for those who are going through any sort of crisis situation. So in people in crisis, it varies. Maybe you're experiencing a mental health crisis, substance abuse crisis. Maybe you have teenagers and that has caused your household to be in a state of crisis. It could be just, you know, maybe a diagnosis of yourself or someone in the family of an illness. All of these things are kind of jolts that one takes in life, and not all of the times, you know, are we equipped to handle those crises. Maybe we are equipped and we know better, but when you're in the middle of just kind of this jolting circumstance, you don't always know how to use those tools. And so sometimes talking to someone who's trained in crisis intervention can help you find those tools so mm-hmm. that you can get through that crisis and you can move forward.
What is that crisis number? And we'll do that a number of times throughout the
Absolutely.
Hour.
Absolutely. It's 1-800-231-1127. Okay. We also do offer a chat. You can actually go online and chat from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., as well as texting. You can text that same number from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. And so that's the service we would like to expand to be 24/7, mm-hmm. Particularly for the demographic that would be using, right. you know, the chat and text services. I think would be ideal to have that available to them after 10 p.m. Right.
In general, do you find that younger people are more comfortable with the chat and the text?
Yes.
As opposed to the phone line where you really have a human on the other end.
Yes, and it's estimated that we're missing 17,000 people in crisis or 17,000 different crisis contacts because we don't have that 24-hour support on the chat and text. So it's imperative, and that's what we're working towards is really expanding that. It's a service that is used every day. Callers call in or they text or they chat, and they're helped through crisis. And sometimes it's a quick 5-minute call, and sometimes you know, they might be on the phone for hours. Mm-hmm. It just depends. Everybody is different, but our volunteers and staff who run the crisis line go through an extensive 80-hour training period. They are trained in crisis intervention. They are trained in mental health first aid. So they know how to deal with a variety of different situations and how to talk to people no matter what's going on.
Right, right. Okay, so we're talking about a crisis at any level. And we had a former soldier on who has a gym, and he's trying to help with PTSD. And that's... you know, not the first letters that come out of your mouth, but it's there. And he found that you don't have to go through a war to experience PTSD. I had a corporation that I worked for many years, and it just went away. And that is a loss. That there was grief, there was panic, there was all kinds of things. And that was a type of PTSD. It was a crisis. Absolutely. It was a crisis for all those thousands of people who were suddenly without a job.
And you can experience PTSD from a car accident, whether it's minor, major, whether there was a casualty involved or not. You mm-hmm. can still, you know, my personal experience, I've been in minor car accidents, and I still have trouble coming up to a stoplight, you know, thinking that someone's going to just slam me from behind because
sure.
that's what I've experienced.
Sure.
And so it's a very minor form of PTSD, but it's very real. And for some people, it causes them to lose sleep. It can, you know, impact their daily lives or their jobs. So I think that, you know, it's important to understand that crisis, it can really mean a number of different things. And it doesn't have to be what you would typically think of mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, something, you know, catastrophic happening. However, It is manifested, I think, in a number of different ways. We also, you know, we have a number of different services. As I said, that's kind of our main service, and that's what helps us serve. I think that's the thing that people know most about us. Mm-hmm. But we do also have a jail diversion program. Basically, because of our program, we helped 431 people avoid jail in 2014. That amounts to a $5 million savings. And the reason for that is because 40% of adults with serious mental illness are arrested at some point. And most oftentimes it's for petty crimes. Mm-hmm. And it's usually things that, you know, in some way, shape, or form relate to their mental illness. If
sure.
their mental illness, you know, prevents them from getting a job, then maybe they're arrested for petty theft, things like that. So by giving them the treatment that they deserve, they often, and also because of our treatment facility, oftentimes, you know, the police might bring them to us and we can treat them instead of them going to jail where they don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
So, and obviously that results in a significant savings for, you know, for the police and the city, the taxpayers, everyone. So
right.
It's a win situation for everyone.
Wow. Wow. One of the, this summary statement, I guess, I found online, and talks about Common Ground serves more than 80,000 individuals per year. So obviously that's a lot.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about a couple hundred people every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, a lot of that is through our crisis line, but also, you know, through our different programs. We run a runaway and homeless youth home called Sanctuary, and it's in Royal Oak. And that sanctuary, it provides short-term housing for runaway and homeless youth. It also provides transitional housing for older youth who may be looking to transition out onto their own.
Okay.
And so that alone, our goal, especially for the younger demographic in there who have the short-term housing, our goal is to reunite them with their families. Mm-hmm. And we have 100% success rate in that.
Wow.
100% of the time we are reuniting runaway and homeless youth with their families and getting them into a good home with their families.
That's beyond impressive.
It's absolutely, wonderful. And we serve this to everyone. We don't ask for where you live. We don't ask for your insurance up front. We help you.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out the details later.
Right.
But the goal is to help you, move from whatever crisis situation you're in, mm-hmm. and to get you into a state of hope and moving towards a better future.
Wow. We talked a lot about, I guess I'd say generalities and how the help overall works. Tell me a story about just, one of your success stories, with a little bit of detail, obviously within HIPAA guidelines.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, we have to be very careful, but I will, we run these kind of mini tours, I'll say, of our organization called Crisis to Hopes.
Mm-hmm.
And these tours offer the general public, an opportunity to come in to learn about Common Ground and to visit one of our facilities and to get a short tour of that, and hear a story from maybe one of our leaders, maybe our CEO, and also hear a story from maybe one of the people who have gone through one of our programs. And one of the stories that I heard in one of those Crisis to Hope tours was just absolutely amazing. There was a person who had experienced some mental health issues the majority of their life, and they, as a young adult, were experiencing homelessness because of it. They had come into contact with some friends who told them about Common Ground and said, hey, if nothing else, you can get a free meal from this place.
Okay.
So they were motivated by that alone to check Common Ground out for just a free hot meal. It was wintertime, so for them, a free hot meal seemed like the best thing in the world. And they got a lot more than a free hot meal. They got several free hot meals. They got an opportunity to meet with a therapist that really went over everything that they were going through, their medications, and developed a treatment plan that has sent them on a state of success for the past 25 years. And this person has gone on to do really amazing things with their life. And they are an extremely productive citizen of society. And one of Common Ground's heroes, in my opinion, and just someone who has really taken what they got from Common Ground and given back times 10.
Wow.
So if, you ever have the opportunity to come to a Crisis to Hope tour, I mean, the stories you hear are mm-hmm. absolutely just phenomenal. We have, because we deal with crisis and because there are so many different crises that people can go through. Sometimes we hear from people who are survivors of suicide. Sometimes we hear from people who have overcome substance abuse issues. Sometimes we hear from people who have overcome homelessness or, dealing with being a runaway and things like that. So, and then turned everything, their situation around and really taken that hope and moved with it. And a lot of times, that's all they need is a little bit of hope. That's all they're looking for. And
exactly.
So we do everything in our power to provide that. And I feel like our staff is extremely well trained to provide that hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you think about even a little kid who doesn't really have any issues, but you tell that little kid that the painting is beautiful, or look how pretty you look today with the way you're dressed, that kind of thing. And you just see them beam. And somebody who is really in deep depression or suffering from some kind of abuse at whatever level, and you help them to find the positive within the negative that defines their lives, they're gonna do well. So,
and I think one of the really wonderful things about Common Ground is our facility, our mental ill, our substance abuse treatment facility, is designed in a way that's really welcoming. It's very homey. It doesn't feel too much like a hospital setting.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. It's not institutionalized. And the same thing for the sanctuary. It's very, very beautiful. And We have actually, we're debuting our new website coming this fall, hopefully sometime in October. And at that point, we'll have pictures and some video of what some of our facilities look like so that people can get an insight in as to what it's really like
right.
inside of Common Ground and the services that we provide. We just moved our sanctuary location right into a different area of Royal Oak. And it's a house that we've had, I think, since we've been in existence. The house was initially acquired sometime in the 70s or 80s, I believe, and we've had it. It was initially the crisis residential unit, and it's kind of transitioned, and now we've made it our sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And it's so, I mean, they have a big, beautiful art room for the kids to go and to do art therapy, which is another really amazing part of our program. We were actually just featured in the Royal Oak Public Library in partnership with the Royal Oak Arts, what is it, Royal Oak Arts, oh my goodness, I'm just not even able to think of the name, but we...
I lose words all the time.
But we were featured in the Royal Oak Public Library exhibit with some of the art from different people that are served by Common Ground. And so what they had displayed were strength sticks,
mm-hmm.
and the idea behind it, the art therapist... it's kind of like talking sticks. It's your opportunity to express yourself mm-hmm. without necessarily saying it out loud. So she had everyone create these strength sticks, and you know, the act of wrapping the ribbon around the stick is very mm-hmm. therapeutic. The act of designing and decorating these sticks is very therapeutic. And then the next thing is, you know, with a walking stick, you think of it helps you to move forward. So these strength sticks.
Oh, these are like 5 feet tall or something sticks?
They're not that big.
Okay.
But it's the idea. It's the principle behind it.
Okay.
So it's the theory of, you know, the talking stick, it helps you to express yourself. A mm-hmm. walking stick mm-hmm. helps you to move forward. So these strength sticks encompass both of that. In addition to the therapeutic aspect of, you know, wrapping the ribbon and decorating it and things like that. So it was the artists really, really loved the activity. And I think that they made some absolutely beautiful strength sticks that okay. were displayed in the Royal Oak Public Library all of July, I believe.
Wow. Okay. Do you have an upper range, lower range, so far as age goes, with regards to who you are able to help?
There's no age limits. It depends on the services that are needed. In terms of the sanctuary, it's I believe 12 to 21 or somewhere in that. So it's youth, teenagers, young adults, and depending on your age group will determine whether you're involved with our short-term program or our longer transitional housing program. But in terms of the mental illness treatment that we provide, is no age limit, as well as the substance abuse, there are no age limits. And we always try to make sure that we work with the families and keep mm-hmm. them as involved in
right.
as possible, you know, and still... abiding by HIPAA regulations is very important
exactly.
to us to
yes.
abide by all the rules.
Right, right. So far as younger children go, what's kind of a few that have been in the bottom age that you've helped?
You know, I honestly don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I'm not in the clinical side
okay.
of things.
That's
so,
fine. That's fair.
And because of HIPAA, I don't know a lot about the people we serve unless...
Of course.
For some reason, I've been put in touch with them to, you know, help them share their story, and that they've signed that that's okay for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but other than that, I don't know too much about the other people.
Okay.
We
I'm just curious because there are some very young children who unfortunately have gone through some horrible experiences. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious if any of them have seen their way into your organization, which is so incredibly helpful.
I can tell you that, I mean, absolutely. At our we call it the Resource and Crisis Center, and it's located at 1200 North Telegraph in Pontiac. We do have a room that's specifically dedicated to children so that they don't have to wait with the adults that are waiting to see
okay.
treatment as well.
Sure.
It is a smaller room than obviously the main waiting area, but it, you know, it has really nice toys and
mm-hmm.
activities for
mm-hmm.
the children, and they have their own sleeping areas if they need to sleep there. But it's very nice and it's very private. They have their own bed. They have everything that they need so that they don't have to be around the adults who are seeking treatment.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay.
So we definitely cater to the younger ones as
right.
well.
Right. Let's go back to, we've been talking for almost 20 minutes about everything that's going on. Let's go back to the very beginning.
1971. Okay. Yes. And I actually searched high and low, and I could not figure out, you know, the one specific name of who started Common Ground. It was really a group of volunteers who wanted to help the community, and it was in response to the growing number of runaway and homeless youth in the county. And so the sanctuary portion of Common Ground opened in 1974. Common Ground opened in 1971, and it was formed by a group of students, parents, and community leaders who were concerned about an increase in substance abuse and suicide among young people in their community. So it wasn't until 1998 that those two organizations, Common Ground, with the substance abuse and the suicidology, or the suicide focus, merged with the sanctuary, which had that more runaway and youth homelessness focus. They merged in 1998. So that's kind of how we became what we are today. And 45 years of success, we have a strong support amongst the volunteers who are with Common Ground. They've been there forever. A lot of the staff have been there for, you know, decades.
Okay.
So I think once you get involved with Common Ground, the passion takes over, and you want your hand in it some way, shape, or form. You want to help out. As I mentioned before, our crisis line is kind of it is absolutely a major part of what we do, and it is mainly staffed by volunteers. I think we only have a handful of full-time staff that assist with that and kind of oversee the crisis line, but a majority of people taking the calls are people who volunteer their time, and it's a commitment. I believe, again, they have to do the 80 hours of training, but in addition to that, they have to commit to do it for a certain number of years, a certain number of hours per week, a certain number of weeks per year. So it is very much a commitment, and we hold graduations every 3 months. I could be wrong. For these people who do trainings to be able to assist on the crisis line.
Wow.
And we'll have one November 3rd this fall. And if you have an opportunity to come out, anyone listening wants to come out to Common Ground and to, you know, witness this graduation, they are moving. It is so moving. It is, the people take great pride in their accomplishments, and as they should. It is a huge accomplishment. So we make kind of a big deal about it.
Do you find that most of the volunteers have background that kind of takes them to you? In other words, maybe they lost a child to suicide, or maybe they had a substance issue 20 years ago or something like that. Do you find that they just are regular people who heard about it and want to give it a try?
You know, the beautiful thing is we have such a great mix of people. Some people have a background or have a family member who has a background in some of the crises that we'd assist with, and some people just really want to help others. So we have such a beautiful mix of people who help with Common Ground.
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic. And just from what you're talking about, so far as a mix goes, I guess we're talking about different ages, different genders, different races, different
Absolutely.
Creeds, I guess is the right term. So,
absolutely. Yeah. We have people of all ages, sizes, colors, genders, ethnicities, backgrounds, religions, you name it. I mean, it's a beautiful mix of people. And that's why, you know, seeing the graduations again is a really mm-hmm. awesome experience, because you just see the different backgrounds coming together and everybody kind of working towards that common goal of helping others.
Right.
So it's a really beautiful sight in today's world.
Yeah, definitely. Is the graduation information on your internet web, on your webpage?
The graduation information is, it's not like necessarily published. Like I said, we are getting a new website that will be debuting in October.
Okay.
But it will definitely be up there. But also a great way to stay informed of everything that's going on at Common Ground is to follow us on social media. We are on Facebook. You can look up Common Ground Helps or just Common Ground. Well, our logo is this really beautiful pink and purple heart.
Yeah.
On Twitter, it is CG Helps. So at CG Helps, and then Instagram, we are Common Ground Helps. We are also on LinkedIn. You know, we have
a lot of job opportunities available, whether you want to be kind of a boots on the ground, working directly with the people. We have a lot of opportunities for that, and as well as in our administrative office. And so on our LinkedIn page, we are constantly posting opportunities. And even if you love your job and you're good where you're at, but you just want to be involved somehow, we've got volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. We try to be involved in the community a lot. So we're at health fairs, we're at different events, we're inside the schools, we try to be everywhere we can. And we're trying to be more in the community and expand our presence digitally as well as physically. We really want to, right now, as I mentioned earlier, our resource and crisis center is located at the north end of Oakland County, on Telegraph. Mm-hmm. We'd really like to expand into the lower end of the county and expand into this tri-county area. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even though we already serve everyone in these tri-counties, I think that the physical location being somewhere that's more accessible would help.
Yeah. And again, you are serving Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties.
Absolutely.
About how many, just a ballpark, how many people are involved with Common Ground, both on the volunteer end and on the paid staff end?
I believe we have, it's a great question. I want to say we've got about 200 and something employees, possibly three. And I want to say we probably have about that many volunteers as
wow.
well.
That's a big staff.
It is a big staff. The volunteers, this could be maybe someone who comes in and interns, or which is another thing, we're here at Henry Ford Community College. If any interns are looking for an opportunity, it doesn't matter what field you're in. You don't have to necessarily be in the social science or field or social. Mm-hmm. You could maybe do marketing or digital design or anything. We could use help with everything. So okay. Any interns looking for an opportunity to demonstrate their skills,
right.
we would welcome them. But so our volunteer list, it consists of interns, people who maybe have just volunteered mm-hmm. once for one major event, or maybe there's someone who volunteers on a regular basis with us, or again, because we hold graduations a couple times a year for okay. people who man our crisis line. So,
wow.
That's a large part of that volunteer staff.
Wow. Yeah. My gosh. About how many calls are you getting in, however, daily, weekly, monthly? Do you have any stats in that area?
I probably do. I don't have them with me.
Okay.
The stat I know what we're missing, which is to me the most important thing, because we've got to figure out how can we answer those 17,000
exactly.
Chats and texts that are we're missing every year, people who are in a crisis situation who need assistance.
But you said that the crisis line is available 24/7,
absolutely.
365. And what is that number again?
1-800-231-1127.
Okay. Write that down. If you're listening to this, maybe you don't need it. Maybe you know somebody who does, and maybe you don't know somebody who needs it. And 3 weeks from now, somebody may come into your life and you'll think about this interview and say, yeah, that's what that individual needs.
Absolutely.
So we're providing an ear, if nothing else, mm-hmm. and that's very, very important. Talk about, we had spoken before the broadcast, and you were talking about families that end up getting split, where a mom and daughter might be able to go into a shelter, and there's a teenage son who is every part of those, the three are a family, and yet they get split up because of certain rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that people don't think about, and they don't really understand. A lot of shelters don't allow teenage boys in the shelters. So while a family of three, maybe a mom, a young child, an infant or toddler, and then a teenage boy might all be homeless together, maybe only mom and baby can go to the shelter. Where does that leave this teenage boy?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes it leaves them homeless or searching, couch surfing, staying with friends or relatives. And, the sanctuary provides that boy an out. It provides him an opportunity to have a safe, loving environment while his family gets on their feet and gets back into a stable home.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's older, then he can even take advantage of the transitional program that it will allow him to learn the skills necessary to live on his own.
Do you have job placement help also?
We definitely, as part of the program, everything that we do, we help with resources. So if we don't provide it directly from Crown and Ground, we will definitely get you in touch with the right people, mm-hmm. So that you can get, you know, job placement or whatever it is that you need.
Mm-hmm. Any safe housing that's involved in your programs?
We don't have any safe housing at this time. We do have a victims assistance program, mm-hmm. and we do assist domestic violence victims, but unfortunately this time we don't have any shelter or safe housing. Mm-hmm. That is something that, again, we have connections and we partner with organizations that provide
First Step was a guest on Impact about a year ago, and some of the things that they do, just like you, so amazing. And connecting a victim with them gets them the safe housing that they need, presumably. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about how they have to hide vehicles so that the bad guy, if you will, can't see the vehicle to further harm them while they're hiding until they can get to another place. I'm sure that some of your street kids are coming from, you know, like domestic violence homes, mm-hmm. and they're trying to get away, trying to be safe, and so you can give them that shelter.
Absolutely. Like I said, we serve a number of different people in different situations. Sometimes, you know, they're maybe really scary or really serious, dire crisis, and sometimes it's simply a matter of, like in the case with the teenage boys who maybe can't go to a shelter, it's just a matter of them needing service that unfortunately a lot of other shelters can't provide for them. So.
Okay. We're about at the halfway point, and I would like to remind you that this is Impact. I'm your host, Lynn, and we're here on the second Tuesday of the month talking about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. I don't have to mention that Amber Beard, who is here from Common Ground, is definitely making a difference in the community. So thank you so much for that. This might be a good time to kind of break from our format and talk about you. Where did you come from? How did you get involved with Common Ground?
Yeah, so I'm very new, so you all will have to forgive me because I'm still trying to familiarize myself with all the important numbers and facts and everything. but I am very passionate about the cause. I came to Common Ground initially with an interest in sanctuary. I had worked with other homeless and runaway youth homes in the past in the state of Michigan, and so that's kind of my true passion is working with youth and disadvantaged youth. So that was what sparked my interest, and then upon, you know, getting involved with Common Ground, I was just floored with the number of other services they provide that I was not aware of. I had no idea in how much people are impacted by suicide. Myself, I am a survivor of suicide. I have dealt with a number of people in my life as a very small child up until just last October, people in my life who have died by suicide. So for me, understanding that there was this whole world of people who experienced the same thing, coming into Common Ground, the way I dealt with people threatening suicide or making remarks, I would get angry and I would say that self, I would just, you know, I would approach it what I now know is completely wrong. But I was so affected by the impact that it had on me. It just made me really angry, and mm-hmm. I didn't know how to express that. But, you know, I now know that there are others affected by it too. And, you know, someone who's contemplating suicide, they really, really need some attention. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, especially in the world of social media, there will be calls for attention out on social media. There will be warning signs, and people sometimes dismiss it and say, oh, you just want attention, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And they deserve that attention. Mm-hmm. If they are feeling that dire in need, that they want to call out that warning, then absolutely they deserve your attention.
Right.
And if they can't get it, if there's anyone who's considering suicide or thought about it or having those thoughts, absolutely give us a call, 1-800-231-1127. You know, we have people there that will talk to you and they care about you, that won't ask you any questions you don't want to answer, but will just listen to whatever it is that you need to say. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that our crisis line has been instrumental in moving a lot of people from that moment in time where they feel no other way out into a place of hope and future.
Is that how you first heard about Common Ground? Was
No, I first heard about Common Ground because of the sanctuary.
Oh, okay.
As I had mentioned, it's just my involvement and passion about, you know, runaway and homeless youth and what else is out there to help.
Right.
And you know, there's not a lot of services for runaway and homeless youth. I feel, in my opinion, and only my personal opinion, it's an underserved population, but a very, very deserving population.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess understanding the support we provide for people who have attempted suicide and survivors of suicide was kind of, for lack of a better phrase, the icing on the cake for me, because it's also something that I'm passionate about.
Right.
And being involved with an organization that has, you know, such a tremendous impact on the community, on that particular, you know, part of the community, has really been, I think, beneficial for me as a person. When I, you know, move forward in my life at some point, I will always take with me what I've learned here at Common Ground about suicide and how you can help others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. There's so many different things that trigger it too. Teenagers in general, there's so much drama in your life when you're 16. It's the end of the world when he dumped you. And
I have three teenagers at home, so you're preaching to the choir.
And sometimes that final step to suicide is just so final, and they don't understand that 10 years from being 16, when you're 26, you'll look back on that and kind of laugh and realize what a loser that guy was anyway, and it was okay that he dumped you.
Mm-hmm.
Look where he is now and look where you are now, that kind of thing. But
absolutely,
it's so hard to see during those years.
It is. And you know, and I think that's a key part of the crisis line and the training that our volunteers and our staff go through is understanding how to help people see what they can't. Because in that moment of crisis, and that moment when you feel like this guy is the end, you know, begin and end all of everything, and he is, oh my gosh, you can't live without it, you know, in that moment, it's not that there's anything wrong with you. You just literally cannot see past that cloud.
Right. Right.
And so people who are trained to help you see past that cloud or clear the fog, you know, that's what the crisis line really is. They plant that seed of hope in you, and they help clear out that fog so that you can see, oh, you know, maybe I don't really, you know, need him as much as I thought I did.
Yeah,
or what have you. And, you know, I think that the crisis line is absolutely amazing for that. You know, a lot of times people say, well, suicide runs in families.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really suicide that runs in families. It's mental illness that runs in families. And I don't want to get this number wrong, but I'm pretty sure that 9 out of 10 people who die by suicide have an underlying mental health issue.
Depression being one of
those. Depression, anxiety. Mm-hmm. It could be a number of things. And I think also that, you know, a lot of people have anxiety and depression. I have anxiety out of this world. I mean, a lot of people struggle with these things on a day-to-day basis. You don't really think of it as a mental health issue or a mental health illness. But for the people who struggle with it day-to-day, it very much is a mental health issue or illness. But I think that people tend to think of the more serious mental health issues, schizophrenia, you know, psychopathy and things like that. But you know, even depression or anxiety could be enough for some people to just drive them over the edge.
Right.
And
and
so, you know, sometimes when you feel like you're trying and everything is just too overwhelming and it gets to be too much and you can't see through that cloud, you need someone to come in and to help you see through that cloud.
Right.
And sometimes not always talking to a friend or a family member is the best thing, because they're not trained to help you see through the cloud.
Right.
You know, maybe they know too much and they have their own opinions or their biases or what have you, and they could absolutely make the situation worse. So talking to someone who's trained, who has no bias towards you or your situation, and who are absolutely open-minded, and believe me, have heard every single thing you could possibly imagine, they do not judge you. They don't judge anyone.
Part of the 80-hour training for the, I'll call them counselors if that's okay, if they're going through this, are they also, I presume, learning about case studies and individual circumstances, and this is what happened to this person and this is what you should say? Is that how the class kind of goes that way?
They do have some of that. I mean, okay. It's presented in, you know, we have textbooks and videos that they see, as well as our trainer, who's amazing, who has some very dozens of years of personal stories that he can share, and
okay.
He has a ton of experience in a number of capacities. But that kind of say, this is the situation, this is how it was dealt with, this was the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so they definitely have, but their goal is not to diagnose you. Their goal is not to treat you. Their goal is to help you see through the fog.
Right.
Their goal is to help you get out of that moment of crisis. And if that moment of crisis lasts 5 minutes on the phone, or if it lasts 3.5 hours on the phone, their goal is to get you through that moment. And
okay.
Once you've gotten through that moment, if you decide, you know, maybe you call because people around you have been telling you that you're struggling well with alcohol. And you kind of think maybe you are, but, you know, everyone's really drinking, so you're not really sure if it's a problem for
right.
you. And maybe you call and you talk it through, and then you decide, you know, maybe I should contact my local AA, or maybe I should contact someone who might be able to talk with me further about this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you decide on your own to pursue some sort of treatment, or maybe you just hang up the phone and think, oh, see, I knew I didn't have anything wrong. You know, it's just a number, but the goal is to get you out of that fog, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then not diagnosing, but are they able to direct the person to something?
Absolutely.
I call with an alcohol situation. Is somebody on the other end of the phone going to tell me to find AA or to find a group, or maybe they suggest a group, or no?
We are not going to tell you to do anything, and we are not going to try to move you in one direction or another. If you sound like you might be interested in
mm-hmm.
some AA, then
mm-hmm.
we'll say, we have a list if you're interested.
Okay.
But we absolutely are not going to assume that you want AA or that you need AA.
Okay.
Because our job is to listen to what you tell us.
That's part of the non-judging.
Absolutely.
Okay. Fantastic. And 80 hours. How long does it take to go through the 80 hours?
A couple of weeks. I want to say it takes up to 3 months. Depends on how the trainings are. I think they have like a full day on Saturdays, and they have some night classes
mm-hmm.
too. So it takes a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months to complete
sure.
all 80 hours.
Okay.
And not everybody passes, because sometimes the class itself, and I've had to go through the crisis intervention training and the mental health first aid, and my first brisk with the crisis intervention, I was triggered, and it was just a little bit, when we had to debrief, it was a little bit emotionally taxing on me.
Okay.
Having gone through that, I feel pretty confident that I can never man the phones.
Okay. but that's good to know.
Absolutely, because I think that, you know, and some people can do it, regardless of how, you know, how much they've experienced in their life, they might still be able to push on through and not be triggered for whatever reason, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like, and for me, I just get triggered, and I can't be crying on the phone with you.
Okay.
All right. And so, you know, some people go through that training, and at some point they realize that they're too triggered. And because again, we get people from all different backgrounds. So there are people who want to help because maybe they've experienced loss due to suicide in their life, or maybe they used to battle with depression or a substance abuse issue or what have you. And so they want to help, but
mm-hmm.
then they get into the training and it is far too triggering, and they decide, maybe I should find another way to help.
So triggering means that it kind of takes you back to a place where, as you said, you had some suicide in your family.
Yes.
So you're talking to somebody on the phone, and all of a sudden you're reliving your own experience.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So.
Or maybe you're over-empathizing with them.
Okay.
Which I tend to be an over-empathizer. So if I see someone cry or hear someone cry, it makes me want to cry. And, you know, again, the volunteers are really not there to cry with you, but to listen to you cry and to help you through it. And sometimes you just, if you're crying on the phone too, you're just aggravating the situation, and then everyone's going to be bawling their eyes out.
All right. So you just have to kind of maintain and
mm-hmm.
then help the person through as best you can. But
absolutely.
As you said, it could go from 5 minutes to 3.5 hours on the phone, depending. what the situation is.
I've heard of all different call times. So sometimes it's super easy and someone just calls and says, hey, you know, do you have the number to this? Or,
okay.
I mean, we absolutely kind of serve as a resource line in some ways. Some people just call because they need resources or they need to reach one of our departments or they want to know if we have a contact information for one of our partner organizations. And that's fine too. Those are, you know, easy. We just mm-hmm. give them the information. We have a database full of resources that are local and national
right.
that can really any crisis you could possibly think of.
Okay. What's been, have you had, not personally necessarily, mm-hmm. but has Common Ground found a place where it was too much? They couldn't quite address the issues at hand.
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, that's a good answer.
I think that whatever we've been presented with, we've either assisted or found an organization that could assist.
Okay.
And being in the field that we're in, I guess, and for the amount of time that we have been in, we've been very successful and have a very good track record mm-hmm. in the community for, you know, being able to provide assistance and not asking too many questions and, you know,
right.
being compliant with all of the laws and regulations that we have to be compliant
right.
with and providing the people that we serve with a really comfortable treatment, whatever. If they do come to us
mm-hmm.
For a substance abuse or mental health treatment, we provide them with very comfortable treatment and it doesn't feel like a hospital. It's not a jail cell, but it just feels like, you know, you're in a comfortable place. And we have at our longer-term facility at the Resource and Crisis Center, we have a big, beautiful kitchen where the people that we serve can go in there and learn how to cook. They can cook along with someone, a chef, I guess, if you will,
okay.
And or be cooked for, whatever. But they're provided healthy food because, you know, treatment, it's a full circle. It's not just, okay, so we're going to treat this particular issue. So if it's substance abuse, if it's mental health, but no, we're going to treat your entire mind, body, and soul. So whatever that is, whether that's nutritious food, giving you opportunities to do yoga, art therapy, exercise, so that you can really heal from the inside out and mm-hmm. take care of yourself as best mm-hmm. as possible.
Wow. So are there day programs or is everything like live in for a certain number of days or
weeks?
Well,
we have different services. So we do have a service where you can come in if you're experienced. Say, for instance, if someone gets arrested for something, maybe disorderly conduct or who knows. And so the police say, you don't need to go to jail. I'm going to take you to Common Ground. So they come to Common Ground and we do a full assessment of them. Maybe they stay. It's a short term up to 24 hours. So we might need to keep you for 24 hours. We are going to try to figure out what's the best course of action. We're going to provide you with a nice hot meal while you're there. And if you need clean clothes or clean underwear, whatever it is that you need, we'll provide you with that. We'll talk to you, we'll try to figure out what medications you're on or what doctors you're seeing or what have you, and then we'll figure it out. You potentially may just need to, you know, have needed that 24-hour period and then you go back home, that is new, or you potentially need some longer-term treatment, and so then for that we have a longer-term treatment that's kind of in-house, so to speak. It's at that Resource and Crisis Center that we work with you to determine what medications you may or may not need and your dosing schedule, and have you work with clinicians who will talk with you on a regular basis, and you have an entire treatment plan, and that plan is followed to a T until you're better
okay.
and can move forward.
All right. This is an amazing program, and it's not costing anything, so I'm trying to figure out where the money comes from. So let's talk about that aspect.
Absolutely. So we do get funding from Oakland County Community Health. We also get funding from, we have grants and things like that, but then we do fundraising. 90% of all money raised goes towards our programs and services. So whether that's keeping the crisis line open or whether it's keeping the survivors of support group up and running, 90% of every dollar raised goes towards those services. There are services that we provide that Oakland County Community Mental Health have oversee, so they fund and what have you, but some of those services are, I guess, like, for, you know, instance, sanctuary could really use a lot of funds from fundraising as well as in-kind donations, because essentially it's like raising a house full of teenagers. They can have up to 12 people at any given time there. So, you know, think about, again, I have three teenagers at home, so I'm just like, the amount of food that we go through, the amount of clothing that we go through, and storage tubs for, you know, all their crap, just everything. So, like, again, in-kind donations for things that toiletries and things that for the people who come in for that 24-hour period where they're being kind of assessed. Again, a lot of people don't have clean underwear or socks. And it's sad that, you know, sometimes that's all they want is a clean pair of underwear.
Sure.
And we don't have, like, this big storage room full of different size underwear. So a lot of times, people, the staff have had to go out and buy people underwear.
Okay.
So, you know, things like that, just having gift cards to like Meijer or Walmart or wherever, where they could go and get underwear for those who need it, or clean socks. That has been, I'll tell you, from working with, as I mentioned earlier, I've worked with different runaway and homeless youth homes in the past, and that has been the biggest item of request that across the board is socks. Socks, and underwear is next. And it's something that, you know, you don't think of. You know, in the past, I've donated to different organizations for Christmas and stuff. When I see a 16-year-old teen mom and all she wants for Christmas is underwear or socks, it's heartbreaking. And it seems like such a simple necessity that we can provide. Yeah. So if there's anyone listening who wants to help out, if you can just provide some packs of clean, you know, brand new unopened packages of underwear or socks, that would be amazing. Or gift cards to where we could purchase these items.
And where should gifts in kind be taken?
So we have our administrative office. It's located at 1410 South Telegraph in Bloomfield Hills, but it's right there on that kind of Pontiac, Waterford area. And those, any type of donations can be taken there. Or also, you can take donations to 1200 North Telegraph in Pontiac, and that's our Resource and Crisis Center.
Okay. What are the cross streets?
For the administrative building, it is Orchard Lake and Telegraph. So there's like a Home Depot right there and some sort of veterinarian office. And then for the Resource and Crisis Center, it's actually located like in the county complex. So where everything else Oakland County is, and there's like all these buildings with different numbers and things like that. It's located in that complex.
Okay. All right. So we're looking for all sizes of underwear and socks for men and socks for women. And nice, clean, new, cushy socks always feel fantastic. So that's, yeah, I can understand that. I know a lot of charities, that's one of the top items. Those two items are the top items many times. And, you know, people often think about, you know, somebody homeless really needs a meal, and that's true. And they really need a clean bed to sleep in, and that's true. But just to have that as you said, simple comfort, simple necessity, it helps.
Yeah, one of the things in our facility, our Resource and Crisis Center, when people are there for the crisis residential unit is what we call our longer-term facility. When people are there, you know, it's kind of a comfortable environment, and so, you know, sometimes just having like a nice comfortable pair of sweatpants or hoodies, because in all honesty, you have to think that sometimes people who come there are experiencing withdrawal from substances, and so they might not feel very well, and they might be cold and shaky, and it might be good to just have a nice comfy hoodie or something to kind of be, you know, wrap up in, or things like that. So
till you get past the crisis point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Let's see. I went to your webpage, which is wonderful. There's all kinds of great little bits in here. And there was a, this actually, I think, goes back a little bit under mental health news. It was it said, could new talk therapy cut the cost of treating depression? And I think we've kind of talked about that already. But yeah, so they're actually doing studies on it and finding that the simple and non-drug therapies can be really pretty fantastic.
Absolutely. There's a lot of different, you know, art therapy is another big one, and we're really big on art therapy, whether it's music or if it's actual, you know, like the strength sticks we talked about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Art therapy is huge. It's people who have gone through our art therapy programs have come out so excited and happy that they went through it, and how I never thought I had any artistic ability. I've never been into art, but oh my gosh, it was so amazing. And I made this beautiful creation, and in the administrative offices, we have a ton of artwork from the people that we've served over the years in our building, and it's beautiful. I want to take some of it home. It's amazing. And to think that these people, you know, at one time thought, oh, I have no artistic ability, but a lot of times you channel that emotion, that crisis, and you can make absolutely beautiful art, whether it's musically or if it's a painting or what have you. So, yeah, the talk therapy too is huge with the crisis intervention. You don't always need a pill, you know.
Right, exactly.
But sometimes you do, and that's okay too. But we want to make sure that you get what you need, whether that
right.
is just someone to talk to,
right.
or if it is something else.
Well, art in general, when you think about the art world, whether you're talking about famous painters or musicians, how many had this incredible crisis going on in their heads, and how many suicides did we see over the years from these incredibly talented and creative people? So you're kind of just getting them from the other side, where they're just quote unquote regular people, and finding that art is a great release for them.
Absolutely.
And other people who are artists finding that that's a release and a challenge, and sometimes a way of getting a little bit off kilter.
I think for a lot of people, it's even an escape. You know, when you're so in tuned with your creation, you're not thinking about whatever crisis is going on. And so if you can focus that energy and that emotion and that attention onto whatever you're creating, you can kind of escape or forget about your crisis for a little bit.
Right.
And so our art therapy, again, it's huge. And I think that it's been really successful. And I hope that's something that we continue. But again, that's another thing that's kind of like, you know, when we're out in the community and we're accepting donations and raising funds, it's for programs like that that aren't necessarily mainstream.
Right.
That aren't necessarily the easiest thing to get grants or funds for.
Right.
But are so important.
It's not a specific thing. You know, it's like I need this money to do something, and yet what you're talking about was, I need these sticks and I need some ribbons, and you know, you're right, it's hard to get a grant for sticks and ribbons.
Yeah.
If somebody would like to make a donation, what's the best way to do that?
Okay, and if you want to make a donation, again, we accept donations at our administrative offices at 1410 South Telegraph in Bloomfield Hills, or at the Resource and Crisis Center at 1200 North Telegraph in Pontiac.
Okay.
And if you ever, you know, just need to get in contact with us, again, I want to put out that we are on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as LinkedIn. LinkedIn is really great if you're looking for a job or you want to get involved volunteering. And Facebook, it's Common Ground, or Common Ground Helps. On Twitter, it's CG Helps. And on Instagram, it's Common Ground Helps. And so we try to post information of upcoming events. We try to post information of volunteer opportunities, our different programs. The tricky thing is when you're an organization as expansive as us that has so many different, very intricate programs, people, I think, often it's almost overwhelming for them.
Mm-hmm.
What does Common Ground do? What's a crisis?
Mm-hmm.
What is this for? What do you guys actually do, though?
Right, right.
And I think that what we're really working hard right now to define that, to define crisis, to define the programs that we offer, and, you know, to help people easily navigate whatever it is that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a big part of that is redoing our website and launching that this October. We do have a massive amount of information on our current website. I believe it's very overwhelming. So our hope is that with this new website, it will be very user-friendly, very mobile-friendly, and whatever crisis you may be in, it will be very easy for you to get exactly where you need to go and get the assistance that you need. Or if you're just looking for information, it should be really easy for you to do that. I feel like our social media pages are a great way to get that information pretty quickly, and you can always, kind of man those pages. So if anyone has any questions or wants more information, you can send us a message on any of those social media pages, and I will be sure to get back to you. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely trying to kind of spread the word about what we offer and how we can be of assistance.
Okay.
I think that people tend to think, well, I don't need that service. I'm not, you know, but it could be something that you don't, that's not necessarily considered, you know, that's not a mental health thing or that it's not a substance abuse thing. There are a lot of other crises that happen on a day-to-day basis. And it could be you're just absolutely overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And many people do call because they are just overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, they're just having issues with, you know, family situation, divorce, anything that's kind of been a jolt to what your norm is or your reality is.
And that's all encapsulated in PTSD. Mm-hmm. When your life changes that dramatically. Mm-hmm. With a divorce or with a job loss or anything mm-hmm. like that, that's the kind of thing that just...
It throws you all off and it puts you in it could be a short-term crisis, but I feel like if you don't receive some sort of service or mm-hmm. Kind of help yourself, then it could prolong longer than it needs to, and everyone exactly. deserves the opportunity to move on from that.
Right, right. The crisis line, one more time?
1-800-231-1127.
Okay. Amber, thank you so much for being here today on Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. Been a long time, 1971 until 2016, and Common Cause has made a difference.
Common ground. Yes.
I did it again.
Thank you.
I kept going back and forth. I can't say enough good things about it. And the staying power.
Yes.
You know, you rely on, there are some government monies coming in, but you're relying on everyday people to keep you up and running. So, and let's just say it one more time. The crisis line?
1-800-231-1127.
And if you're inclined to buy a gift card or some underwear or socks, mm-hmm. you can deliver those to?
1410 South Telegraph in Bloomfield Hills or 1200 North Pontiac, or North Telegraph Pontiac.
Okay. Thank you so much, and thanks to Common Ground for all the fantastic things you guys are doing to keep the world a better place.
Thank you for having us.
So this is Lynn, your host of Impact. We're here on the second Tuesday of the month from 1 until 2. And if you only heard part of the broadcast, remember you can also catch the podcast at 2:01, and it's out there forever. Just go to whfr.fm, look for Tuesday Talk. And we have the Malt Shop coming up next. I will remind you, you are listening to WHFR Dearborn, and tell you that the views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR nor of Henry Ford College.
It's that time of year again. The leaves will start to change color, the smell of baked goods will be in the air, and the campus of Henry Ford College will be abuzz. Fall enrollment at Henry Ford College is going on now, and the deadline is quickly approaching. If you plan to enroll in any of the hundreds of courses offered at Henry Ford College for the upcoming fall semester, make sure to get enrolled as soon as possible, as classes are quickly filling. You can save thousands of dollars by choosing classes at HFC versus other colleges in the area. HFC is one of the few schools to offer free parking to save you even more cash. There's so many benefits to choosing HFC that they can't even be listed. Get enrolled today to save time and money while getting a high-quality education from a college that has been future-driven since 1938. Classes begin August 25th, so get those choices made today and ensure your future. For more information about enrollment and classes being offered, visit www.hfcc.edu or come visit the Welcome Center.
You know, I often wondered what makes people tick. And then I signed up for classes at Henry Ford College and found out that studying human behavior can be a fascinating field to work in. Starting your education in this field can begin right here at Henry Ford College. For those who wish to pursue a career, advance a degree in a subject, or maybe just want to try something new, Henry Ford College has courses to fit a variety of needs. The social sciences include all the disciplines dedicated to the scientific understanding of human behavior. Social scientists study the patterns of the ways people think, act, and react as individuals and as members of society. Does this sound interesting to you? It did to me. The Henry Ford College Humanities and Social Science Division offers a wide variety of associate degree and certificate programs. To find out more, call the division office at 313-845-9625, or you can visit them on the web at hfcc.edu.